Christmas Rose, written by UGG.com, read by Kaylin Wrights. Summary. Looking for a Christmas present for his pseudo-daughter, the doctor runs into a familiar face. As always, she can't stay for long. The doctor pressed his fingers to the glass bottle of perfume. It was chilly, the winter air creeping into the store and coating everything. He picked it up, sniffing at it, and then wrinkling his nose and setting it back down. Christmas was coming. The doctor was, inherently, an atheist. He came from a culture without gods that weren't Gallifreyan-made, and disregarding that he had met Satan, he didn't believe in any sort of governing god. Neither, notably, did Rose, but she and her family celebrated Christmas all the same. And he wanted to get her the best gift possible. Now that the doctor was a sort of uncle, sort of another dad, he wanted to make Rose as blindingly happy as possible. And that was why he found himself in a makeup store, utterly lost among the different types of makeup. He didn't know her skin tone, which ruled out most types of makeup. He also didn't know what colors she preferred, other than naturals and soft pinks. So far, he was considering a palette of soft pinks and blues, a container of many different brushes, and perfumes. Except all the perfumes smelled awful. Horrible and nauseating scents filled the perfume section, mixing together into a terrible mess of florals and alcohol, wafting over him, making him surely smell exactly like them. He wrinkled his nose, stepping further, bravely, into the perfume section. Then, there was one scent that didn't reek. It smelled faintly of real roses after rain, of a shot of stardust ginger wine, of the sea, of something deeply familiar. The doctor picked up the box containing the bottle. It was a bright pink, with a curly white font declaring the name, Christmas Rose. He didn't know why he set it in his basket. He didn't even know if Rose wore perfume. But he recognized the scent in some deep part of him, and he wanted to get it for her. "That's a good scent," an all-too-familiar voice said. "It's the one I always wear." The doctor took a deep breath, and then instantly regretted it because of the scents. His hand tightened around the handle of the basket. He recognized the voice, of course. That was the problem. It was a problem because if he turned around and the owner wasn't who he thought it was, he might break down crying in the middle of this makeup store. "You recognized it, then?" the familiar voice said again. The doctor turned around. She leaned against a display shelf full of perfumes, like she couldn't care less if it tipped over and they all broke. She had a tube of red lipstick in her hand, carefully inspecting it. She opened it, twisting it up. "Hun, what do you think of this shade?" she asked him.
"River."
"Doctor, the shade?" The doctor raised an eyebrow. "I'm sure that's in the future," she said, "so we'll file it under spoilers for now, and ignore it." "You're very young." River stepped forwards, hand resting on the doctor's cheek. She tilted his head back and forth, studying his face. "I thought you regenerated when you looked younger than this."
"I got the face back."
"It shouldn't work like that, should it?" she asked. He shook his head. "That's interesting, then. You've met me plenty of times by now, I'm sure."
"Yeah,"
the doctor said, trying not to think about her dying, or about the days they'd spent together before she would.
"Do you want to come for dinner?"
"In the TARDIS. Is she cooking?" The doctor moved through the store, River at his side.
"I've got a house now."
"No, you don't," River said incredulously, skipping ahead so she could look at the doctor's face. She studied it, mouth falling open.
"You do? But you never settle down." "I'm not settled down," the doctor objected, pausing by the line of eyeliners, grabbing the one he was pretty sure Rose tended to wear.
Then he grabbed an eyeshadow palette filled with the different colors of pride flags. "Who are you shopping for? Do you have a new wife? Did she get you to settle down?" River picked up another tube of lipstick. The doctor plucked it from her hands, but just set it in his basket.
"I couldn't marry someone who isn't you," the doctor assured her. "I've just got someone back. Someone I lost."
"Rose," River guessed. The doctor shook his head as they got into the line. "I'd say Jack, but I don't think you lost him so much as threw him out. Clara?"
"Clara's still gone." I didn't throw Jack out. Yaz, then? Who told you about Yaz? You didn't meet Yaz. The master and I had a little fling.
The doctor turned to her, frowning, but was cut off before his mouth could open, as the cashier called them over. He set the basket on the counter, letting the cashier ring everything up. Then he took out his credit card.
You have a credit card now?
I've had a credit card before.
No, before you showed your paper and told everyone you were incredibly important, so you needed to have these things. Now you're paying with a credit card that says John Smith.
The doctor pressed the card to the scanner and tucked it away. The cashier bagged the products, saying,
For your wife, sir?
No, my daughter, the doctor replied without thinking.
Need it wrapped?
Thank you.
As the cashier turned away, River grabbed the doctor's arm, turning him away from the cashier.
Your daughter, she hissed. What companion possibly gave you a daughter? Did you get pregnant?
Why would I?
When did you get a daughter? How old is she?
15, the doctor said, turning around and accepting the wrapped makeup. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day, sir, madam.
The cashier nodded, and the doctor and River stepped outside the store. River looped her arm through the doctor's, leaning against him.
Who's the mother of the child?
I'm not the father.
Who's the father?
Sean Temple, the doctor said, and River stopped, yanking the doctor to a stop beside her. It's Donna's husband. Donna's the mother.
Did you steal Donna's kid, or did you move into Donna's house?
You lost Donna.
She lost her memories. How did you... Did she...
River clutched at the doctor's bicep.
You got her back.
I got her back.
River beamed, resting her forehead on the doctor's shoulder.
I'm happy for you. Can I meet her?
You've already met her,
is on the tip of the doctor's tongue, but he doesn't say it. He says,
I'm sure Donna will have you for dinner.
Call her, will you?
Of course.
River let go of the doctor, who handed her the present to hold. He took a few steps away, pulling out the smartphone Donna had insisted he needed. Her number was, as it always was, the top number when he opened the calling app. He clicked it, glancing at River studying the present, and then stepped a few more feet out of earshot.
Tell me there isn't another invasion, was the first thing Donna said when she picked up the phone.
Do I only call when there's an alien invasion?
No, she said. Also when you don't know what type of cheese to get.
There are so many. It's not my fault I don't know which one you want. You're the one who got rid of our brain link. Can I bring a guest home?
Where'd you find a guest?
The makeup store. It's my wife.
Your wife?
Donna near shrieked, and the doctor had to hold the phone away from his ear to not have his eardrum ring.
Where'd you get a wife?
I've had a wife. She's just never come this far into the future before.
The doctor glanced back at River, who had pulled out her own futuristic phone and seemed to be messaging someone. He dropped his voice to a whisper as he said,
You've met her before, once. Riversong.
Then of course she's invited.
She doesn't remember you, Donna.
The doctor glanced back to River again. She still seemed preoccupied.
That was her last. Well, you can't tell her that you've met her before.
Does she know about me?
She knows enough to be happy I got you back.
You got me back? More like I got you back. Bring her. I'll kick Mum out and her portion will go to River.
The doctor laughed.
Your Mum won't like that.
Screw her. You need me to kick Rose to the shed so you can hide her present? Or can you just toss it under the tree and be done with it?
I can toss it under the tree.
The doctor's voice grew fond.
Thank you, Donna.
Yeah, of course, twig boy. Get home safe.
The call ended and the doctor's smile was fond.
You love her, huh?
River asked.
You look happy after talking to her.
And you live with her. That's sweet.
It's not romantic love, the doctor said as they approached his car.
You've got a car. Where did you get a car, then?
Do you know how to drive?
River looked over the car's bright yellow body, the vintage car gleaming like a spotlight in the middle of the parking lot.
How has it not been stolen already?
Anti-theft lock. And she's good. From when I had her in the 70s.
The doctor ran an affectionate hand over her body.
I'm glad Unit hung on to her for me.
He opened the passenger door and bowed slightly. River giggled and sat down in the seat. He closed the door, miming a chauffeur as he made his way to the front. As he pulled out of the car park, rather haphazardly, making River grab onto the side of the seat,
So you can't drive, she said as they ended up on the road.
I can drive.
Clearly not, Rivers shouted against the wind, the car's roof down, the speed and air whipping through their hair and against their faces. When did you learn?
I just knew.
River laughed affectionately, shaking her head. The doctor turned, giving her a grin. He had missed this, wife by his side, joking and seeing the way she laughed, so lovingly, so happily.
I've missed you, he said.
You too, but you know that. I always miss you, whenever we're not together.
I offered that we could travel together, and you could stay.
The car slowed down as the speed limit decreased.
For a while. If you wanted to, you know. I've got my own room. I've got the TARDIS. We could spend time together before you run off again.
Oh, River said, almost dismissively, a little too sadly. You know how it is. We keep running. We're not the sort of people who stop.
I did.
And how long is that going to last? She asked. The doctor didn't answer her, just kept his eyes on the road.
Doctor!
Rose called out, sprinting out of the house and grabbing his arm.
You got to see what I'm making for Mum. I need your input. Who's this?
Rose, this is my wife, River. River, this is Donna's daughter, Rose.
Rose, huh? River said, smiling. I like it.
You have a wife? Since when? I thought you were gay, honestly. Is she coming to dinner?
The doctor grinned ear to ear at his pseudo-daughter's rambling. River smiled too, looping her arm around the doctor's free arm.
I'm coming to dinner. Hell yeah. Sorry, that's awesome. Does Mum know? Does she know your wife? From back when you were traveling together?
The doctor glanced at River. No, they didn't intersect.
And if we did, that's spoilers.
Rose frowned, a confused frown, and tilted her head. Then, as she worked it out, a smile came onto her face. She reminded the doctor at that moment of Bill.
You don't meet an order, do you?
She's quick, River beamed. We don't, unfortunately. Different histories. Usually I see another version of him, though. This one's a bit older than I'm used to. Rose held the door open, and the doctor and River stepped inside.
Donna,
the doctor called out.
I've got my wife with me.
I'll be there in a sec, you impatient man.
Not a man, the doctor called back. What's for dinner?
I cocked up the chili, so we're getting takeaway. Apologize to your wife for me,
Donna yelled from the kitchen.
And ask her if she likes Thai.
The doctor turned to River, about to apologize and ask her about her food preferences, but she waved her hand.
Never an issue, and I'd love Thai. Have you had Thai, doctor?
Not for a while. Not since... Bill?
Yeah, Bill.
Which one's Bill?
Oh, you'll never meet her. Sorry. What's your order?
River didn't have a chance to answer before Donna was stepping out of the kitchen, grin on her face.
The doctor's wife! You're gorgeous! How'd he pull you?
She took River's hands, clutching them tightly.
Absolutely wonderful to meet you.
I've heard so much about you. He really missed you, you know.
I know. He misses you, I think. He doesn't like talking about the people he's lost. I have to drag them out of him. He hasn't lost me yet. Feels like it.
Donna, the doctor cut in. Can you order the food? I'm starving. Spent too much time hunting for this.
He waved the present at Rose, who grinned.
For me?
For you. Don't open it. Just put it under the tree.
He tossed it at her, and she clutched it tight, beaming. Then she ran for the living room, Donna rolling her eyes affectionately after her daughter.
You spoiled her.
You spoiled her first, the doctor shot back. What's my Thai order?
Usually you decide, River said, leaning against him.
The doctor shrugged.
When he doesn't know what he wants, he lets me figure it out based on what he tends to like. Plus, there's hardly any good vegetarian options, so he and Rose are easy to order for. She's been vegan since she knew what meat was. What's your order, River?
Just pad Thai, thanks, Donna.
Awesome, thanks. Dinner will be on the table soon.
Donna waved, stepping out of the room to ask Sean for his order in case it had changed. The table was noisy, as always, Sylvia refusing to leave after Donna had ruined the planned dinner. They passed around sides and curry, chatting across the table.
Where's Wilf? The doctor asked.
He's got a girlfriend at the nursing home, Sylvia said with derision. Bit old for that, I said, but he says he loves her and wants someone with him when he dies. I say he's not dying anytime soon, and when he does, Donna's going to drag him straight out of heaven.
He's not dying,
the doctor agreed, chewing through his pad thai, River at his elbow. Outside, there were flurries of snow, and the group was huddled around the table, fireplace roaring in the other room.
No one's going to let him do that.
Well, I know that.
River watched them, smiling contentedly as she looked between them. Rose and Donna were engaged in a quick debate over something that might have been Rose hosting a group sleepover or going to a party. Sean was watching, occasionally backing up his wife when needed. The doctor watched this, taking sips of grape juice, smiling. And, like Sean, backing someone up when needed, although shockingly that someone tended to be Rose. She needs independence.
Oi, you're my platonic life partner, you should be backing me up,
Donna objected.
She's my pseudo-daughter.
You don't bring your wife to the table and then insist my daughter should have sleepovers with boys, mate. She's got to be careful, you know.
You don't affirm her gender if you treat her with misogynistic ideals. You just contribute to the society that has misogynistic ideals about girls. She's smart. She probably won't have sex. And if she does, she needs to be able to come to you about it. And I've taught her self-defense.
Donna paused.
You're not supposed to be wise. You haven't had children.
I've had approximately 3 biological children, and even more adopted children.
Rose perked up, gesturing between River and the doctor.
Did you...
No, River said, a little too sharply. Never.
Did you travel together?
We tried. It doesn't work like that. We don't work like that. The doctor bit something back. He didn't even know what he would say. That he wished they had tried harder. But maybe it would have been nice to have their timelines line up for a while. That he wanted that more than anything. He didn't say anything, just chuckled at Rose's wide-eyed grin.
I think you're my idol, she said. And we wear the same perfume.
River chuckled, and the doctor couldn't meet Rose's eyes. So he'd been right then.
You have good taste.
She leaned against the doctor, smiling. The doctor took her hand, rubbing his thumb over the back of her hand. Donna made a soft cooing sound.
You two are sweet. I hope you had plenty of time before.
Before for me, the doctor corrected. Still for her. And I like to think we did. Never as much as I'd like.
River laughed, and he knew why. Nothing like hearing your wife say she never thought you loved her the final time you met before she died. That was a laugh he had thought was flattered. Before. Now he knew it was a quick, dismissive laugh, a disbelieving laugh, and he'd never correct it, not now, because he knew he couldn't yet. It was a horrible, all-consuming feeling. So he held onto her hand and wished his touch could show how much he loved her.
Is this the first time you've had a room? River asked, looking around the extra room the doctor had claimed.
He had painted it TARDIS blue, with a double bed in the middle. The shelves were decorated thoroughly, and there were multiple framed pictures of people. River paused before her own picture.
Amy took that one.
I know. I didn't know you had a copy.
She gave me copies of all the pictures she took of you.
The doctor leaned back against the bed, looking at his wife's face with a gentle smile.
I like that one because it's candid. You never smiled genuinely in any of the other ones.
My hair's a mess.
I like it that way. And so did he.
You are him.
River ghosted her fingers over the shelves, looking to the noble family portrait. The doctor stood in the middle of it, proud, next to Donna, standing behind Wilf and Rose.
You never had a family before.
You, Amy, Rory.
I guess.
River's fingers were an inch away from the glass, frozen face of the doctor.
Will you see me again?
Probably not.
She gave him a hopeless laugh.
That's how things work for me. We knew that. We find people. We live for people.
We lose people. I know.
You got Donna back. Lost my granddaughter. Both of them.
I'm a grandmother, River laughed, dropping onto the bed. I've got grandchildren. Damn it, I'm old. I'm going to miss you.
I'm not dead.
You always treated me like I am.
I'm going to miss you, the doctor deflected, for the rest of my life. I'm not going to get you back.
You could.
I couldn't.
He sat down next to her, gathering her hands in his.
I love you, really. I wish I'd been better. I wish I'd been a better husband, given you more of something to love. You were a perfect husband. River kissed his cheek, gently and softly. I always loved you. Every second we spent together. You're perfect.
The doctor couldn't bear it another second, so he let go of her hands, and then pulled her into the tightest hug he could. He pressed his face into her curls, soft against his face, and took a long breath, smelling the cinnamon shampoo and Christmas rose perfume. She smelled like home, like the lingering scent of her in the TARDIS that he'd still catch ever so often. She held him tightly back, hands clutching at the back of his t-shirt. It had been a second before he could even fathom wearing clothes that didn't even cover his arms without layers. The Time Lords would have scoffed in disdain, but he could hear River's heartbeat against his chest.
I would have liked you like this.
Stay, please. Just for a week or so. We can stay here or in the TARDIS. Nothing will go wrong. I won't let it. Please.
You know I can't.
He did. So he didn't let go of her. He couldn't bear that. Not yet. The doctor bolted up at the soft knock at the door. He had fallen asleep with River beside him. He had woken to her gone. He almost wanted, not expected, it to be her at the door. But when he called out,
"Come in,"
and it creaked open, it obviously wasn't.
"Doctor?" Rose said. "I saw her leave."
"We do that."
She shut the door behind her, stepping inside and sitting down on the chair he had mainly gotten for her and Donna. She curled her legs against herself.
"I was wondering."
"Yeah?"
"She liked the name Rose. Did it mean something to you, or her?"
The doctor got off the bed, stepping over the shelf. Carefully, he picked up a rose gold frame, handing it to Rose.
"Her. She was my companion. Your mother met her, actually. I loved her. But you don't remind me of her that much. Similar, but not enough to be creepy."
Rose handed the frame back after studying the blonde girl inside.
"Who do I remind you of, then?"
The doctor set the frame back on the shelf and reached for another one, painted in blue with small rainbow accents.
"Her. Bill Potts. I taught her. And, well, she taught me."
Rose held it up, looking at her.
"You smile when you're confused. So did she. Not a lot of people do that."
Rose smiled. Her confused smile, in part, but a genuine smile, too.
"Can you tell me about all of them?"
"Yeah."
The doctor smiled and went back, far back, to the picture of Susan.
"Of course I can."
And the sting of River being gone didn't hurt so bad. For a second, she thought it was him. The older one. The one who had only wanted her to stay and had found happiness with Donna. And could she be blamed? Donna was right next to him, stepping in time with him like she always was. But he looked through her, like he didn't know who she was. Donna had never met her, or that was what she'd said. But this Donna hadn't either. Asking where she'd be in the future, saying the doctor would never leave her. She didn't know what was worse, knowing the doctor would, or knowing that Donna was the only companion he'd ever truly gotten back. But as always, spoilers.
"Nice perfume," Donna said. "What's that scent called?"
River looked up.
"Christmas Rose."
"Huh, always liked that name, Rose. Said if I ever had a daughter, I'd name her that. Of course now, seeing him all mopey over his rose, I don't think I could get over the implication. But back then, when I still thought men would like me..."
"They still might. He does."
"Ha! Hopefully not like that!"